You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Lizzie Orley.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM for the best country. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land and our elders past, present and emerging. So welcome to Deadly Choices Radio, our show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. So remember, making deadly choices at this present time is all about protecting yourself and protecting your family. Eating healthy, remaining active in body and mind, resisting the temptation to take up smoking, or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your family. Is that sounding good? Okay, so look, in the studio today, we have a deadly round table here. We're joined by DC Ambassador Beau De La Cruz. You've played Australian Touch, Rugby Sevens, and for the Indigenous All-Stars, I believe you're coaching now.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a bit on hiatus, but we'll get to that later, eh? And we also have Dr. Jonathan Leach from AICS Brisbane here to update us on what we can do to protect our community from coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19. As well as Lucky Zenyu, who is the IUE pharmacist, here to talk about why now is a great time to give up smoking. You're one of my favourite Greeks here, isn't it? Look, before we kick it off with the questions and you know, the stuff that we need to know, could I please get you to introduce yourself with your name, your mob, your role, etc. We'll kick it off with you, Doctor.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Jonathan Leach. I've been working with ATSIC Brisbane for about 8 years. Started off as a GP in the Logan Clinic. I'm originally a Kiwi from New Zealand, but moved over here a very long time ago. Grew up on the Gold Coast and I've been all around Queensland living and working in various times.
Yeah, lovely.
Hey. Yeah, obviously Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman. My grandmother's side of Gujila, and my grandfather's from Darling Island. I grew up on the beautiful land of the Larrakia Nation up in the Northern Territory. Started working for Deadly Choices around 2 years ago and loving it as a DC ambassador, and as well as working in the partnerships and business development side of things. So, yeah, keen to have a bit of a yarn today.
Yeah, it'd be good. Lucky.
Yeah. Firstly, I didn't know you were Kiwi, Dr. Jonathan. There's a bit of new news there for me.
Try to hide it.
So my background is a Cypriot background. I'm a first generation Australian. I was born in Adelaide, and just like Dr. Jonathan tries to hide being a Kiwi, I'm a Queenslander through and through. No, both of them. Nice places, I guess. My role at the Institute, I'm the senior pharmacist, I guess, and anything to do with medicines, our team, help people take their medicines and education. That's what we're here for, to support. Mm.
That's really important as well, especially at this time too, but, you know, all of you guys. So, look, let's start by talking about what's on everyone's mind. I know it's a concern for everyone. Everyone's affected by this. This thing is not racist. It's not discriminative of anybody. COVID-19, aka coronavirus, COVID-19. Dr. Leach, it's great that we have you to confirm and break down this information for us around the virus. Can you tell us about the recent changes around COVID-19? I believe discussions are happening this evening, if you're not aware, the government is probably going to action a stage 3 eventually. They're going to discuss it. So, yeah, can we talk about the changes and,
sure. What's happening? I think you're right that change is afoot all the time, and that's what we're constantly trying to catch up with, really, and stay ahead of a little bit if we can. So it does make it challenging to work out how to run our services and still provide for community and do the right thing by our staff, all of that. So, I think the big changes in the last week really is governments probably across the world have really realised that just kind of trying to contain things a bit is not going to cut the mustard. It's not going to do the job. And so there's more extreme measures needed to really cut down people having contact with each other so that we can really cut down the number of infections and really allow our hospitals to manage, our health systems to manage, and to reduce the number of people who get really sick and even die from this disease.
Well, look, we're lucky to have you here. Not you, Lucky. We are lucky to have Lucky. But we're lucky to have you here here, Dr. Leach, or Jonathan. Could I call you Jonathan? Do I call you John? How do I?
Yeah, Jonathan's good.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
Look, it's great to have you here to get some great facts and you know, clear, again, some stuff up. So, because I know that a lot of us are anxious and concerned, but when we can understand things, yeah, it makes it easier to navigate. So, true. Look, can you give us some quick facts, just so we're keeping in the know, you know, on what in particular we do need to know about COVID-19, like, first of all, the signs and symptoms, and then protecting ourselves and family with, you know, quarantine, social distancing, the difference between those two as well. So
yeah, sure.
We'll kick it off first with the signs and symptoms. Yeah,
yeah, sure. So I'll start by saying COVID-19, what that stands for is coronavirus, is the COV, and then ID is infectious disease. So that's all that stands for. And that's the actual infection. So when someone's infected, the name of the virus itself is SARS-CoV. Two, so it's the second version, really, of the SARS virus that infected things.
Kind of like, it's not like the flu at all, but only in that there's different strands is how I'm thinking of
Look,
it.
These viruses have literally thousands of strands that come about, and they do change all the time. But it is a different family to the flu, more similar to the cold virus, but it's obviously more severe and has more serious consequences than a common cold. So the signs and symptoms are, you know, they range and they're different between kids and adults probably. We probably see more fever in adults and less so in kids. But certainly fever, cough, sore throat, shortness of breath are the sort of most common signs. But there's a lot of others as well that happen less often. Sometimes some nose congestion, sometimes diarrhea, that's a small number. And then there's the kind of fatigue and just feeling tired and worn out, aches and pains in your muscles that people would be familiar. So we probably say, you know, it's a bad cold, you know, and like the flu, the symptoms that you get from it.
Okay, so then on top of that, so protecting ourselves and our loved ones, how, you know, what ways are, you know, that can we go about doing that and making sure that we're safe, our community's safe, our mob's safe?
Yeah. So there's the things that you do when you're well, and then I suppose they're a bit different when you're not well, and sometimes you won't know whether you've got coronavirus or not, especially this early in the piece where, compared to the whole population, the number of infections is still relatively low. So if you have a cough or a cold, it's probably not the coronavirus at the moment, but for some people it is going to be. So you need to know how to figure that out, where to get help. But if you're well, it is all the things that we're doing at the moment. You know, we're staying a metre and a half apart from each other. We're washing our hands all the time. We're not touching our face. We're sneezing into a tissue and getting rid of it, washing our hands after, coughing into our elbow. All of those things are the sort of simple one-to-one measures. And then there's the social distancing that, you know, keeping gatherings small as possible, and, you know, those measures will become more obvious as we go along. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's really stopping people having a lot of contact with each other, because even doing all those great things of keeping a metre and a half apart and hand washing, the virus will still spread sometimes. So that's why we've had to see these other measures come into place. Mm-hmm. When you do get some sickness signs, the biggest thing we're asking people to do is pick up the phone. So rather than rock up to a medical centre or a clinic, is pick up the phone and talk to someone just to get some idea of where it might be the best place to go. So that might be your local AMS or other GP practice. There is the coronavirus hotline as well that people can call to get advice, or 13 Health. I know there's the demand on those phone lines is high, so I understand it can be tricky to get through, but if you've got a few options that you can take to do that. Once you get to... you know, once you're getting that advice about what you should do, it might just be to, you know, stay home and stay away from other people, and what you might do in your own household to kind of just help yourself not pass whatever you've got on to those around you. Or it might be to come in and get checked out further and possibly even get a swab test for coronavirus, depending on the symptoms.
So that's how they do it, a swab test?
That's right,
that's
yeah.
All?
Yeah. So it's not a very pleasant thing to go through, I'll be honest. I've had one myself a few years ago. So the swab does go in the usually in the mouth, the back of the throat, and in the nose.
Okay.
So it,
that's 2 seconds of your life, though, right?
That's right. It brings a tear to your eye for a few seconds, but, you know, it's
not
all
giving
over.
Birth, hey, Bo.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
can't speak to that, but I've got three kids, so I've, seen others
You've
go
been
through
there support, haven't
that's
you?
Right. That's right. Yeah. And it's a small price to pay to know that, you know, what's going on for you and how you can then protect those around you.
Okay. So, Bo and Lucky, how are you coping on your end? And what have you done in regards to taking precautions to protect you and your loved ones? Yeah, because, you know, also now, on top of that, both sides, I know all the our cultures,
yeah.
being Greek and Gamilaroi, we do have a big extended family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so what are you doing to protect you and your loved ones and then keeping in contact with them?
Yeah, I suppose it's a day-to-day thing, isn't it? You know, we're hearing updates every single day from the government and I try to sort of stay away from social media, you know.
That's a good
unless
one.
It's sort of, you know, those legit type of, obviously Deadly Choices is a legit type of, you know, social media platform that everyone hopefully follows, and just other things, you know, Queensland government and whatever. So, yeah, it's a day-to-day thing for me. My children are at school today, my babies are at daycare today, and the schools and the daycares have put in some really good, I suppose, precautions of, you know, like when we go in there every day to drop the kids off at daycare, they're taking our temperatures, you know, we're washing our hands, it's all that type of thing. So they're really good, and the school's awesome. They're keeping us up to date every day on what their movements are as well. I suppose in terms of myself, I'm a clean freak. Anyway, so even when I was sort of training, like prior to what's been happening, you know, going to training, I was always taking my own water bottle, and I have for years, you know, so things like that sort of do come naturally. I always carry around one of those little Dettol hand sanitizer, which I, you know, carry around with me every day. So yeah, making sure my kids are keeping hygienic, you know, obviously that we're not going anywhere if it's not essential. I think the only two places that we are going between obviously is my home and my in-laws home, which is 5 minutes around the corner. I'm not taking my children to the shopping centres or anything like that, just because I'm a big believer in prevention is the best cure. And that's how I've always been. My in-laws live 5 minutes away from me. You know, I've been helping them over the weekend, doing a bit of gardening,
that's
helping them.
It's good for
them.
Your mental health.
Yeah, definitely.
As well as physical.
And I know,
activity,
both of my in-laws, and probably nearly 60% of my family and my in-laws have chronic diseases as well. So I'm trying to make sure I limit them for moving around, you know, Brisbane or Darwin. And because my mob are all up in Darwin. My mum's actually in Adelaide at the moment with my sister, and they've got to get back to Darwin in the next couple of days. So, you know, I'm just checking in. My dad's home by himself. I'm checking in on him all the time. Every day I'm ringing him, just saying, don't go anywhere. I'm ringing up, yelling at my sisters to take food around to my dad or whatever, you know. So I'm a bit of a, I go a bit far and beyond, but that's just because I'm a very protective person, you know, and I'm always checking in on my friends, whether it's social media, a text message. I think I sent out a social media post the other day, just my own one.
What is that, your Instagram?
Yeah, my Instagram. Just sort of like getting our mob just to, we want to get our communities just to be calm about it and don't, I'm not saying overreact, but just take precautions.
Be vigilant.
Yeah, and take precautions and do the right thing. Do what government and, you know, and everybody's asking you to do, those standard, you know, social distancing, washing your hands. I'm a big clean freak of washing my hands, you know, so all those types of things. And if we do that, we're going to kick this thing in the butt sooner, hopefully, than later.
Mm.
And, you know, it is a very scary thing. I feel for a lot of the people that have lost their jobs in the last couple of days. And
I'm getting all the messages from
and those people that are struggling. But I think if we can come together as a community, especially with our Indigenous community as well, and look after our people, especially our vulnerable mob, like our elders, a lot of our mob have got chronic diseases, you know, with the highest rate in Australia. So I just think if we look after each other, look after everybody, you know, we hopefully can kick this thing in the butt. And, yeah, but we've just got to be doing the right thing. And it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. Mm. We've just got to take precautions, you know, and obviously the level three is going to come at some stage. And I just think we need to start being a little bit more prepared for it. And everybody's got kids. Everybody's got extended families. Like, the food and all those types of essential things aren't going to run out. So just calm your farm, people, and it'll be there. It'll get there. And we've just got to be really smart about the way we go about our daily things now, and just, you know, take a bit more precaution, or a lot more precaution, and just if it's not essential, don't go. You don't need to go, you know.
I see you agreeing there, Lucky. Yeah, how are you going, you know, and how's your family, and what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think everyone's taking big hits, you know, across the board, big community, so, you know, a lot of things happening. The amazing things, the resilience of people and materialistic things become less relevant, if there is a silver lining at all. You know, as a family, we're pretty much what Bo said. We started social isolation and good hygiene practices pretty early, and the rationale was that by the time we, you know, the whatever hits the fan, which is fast approaching, and we're certainly at the edge now, we had good practices in place. So I'd suggest to anyone, get out there and start doing it, get those habits. A week ago, I would touch my face subconsciously numerous times.
Oh, yeah, I've had to stop.
I've kicked that habit, which is good. Still working on one or two people. It's not easy. I've got an 18 and 20-year-old.
You probably think they're bulletproof?
Definitely. but it's also that social pressure, you know.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are doing into health, you know, studying paramedics and dietitians, so they've got an idea, but a lot of pressure from their mates. That's dulled off a lot now, and the kids definitely get it now, and the message is going out to, I think, to everyone, which is great. Everyone's get the message, stay, you know, stay isolated, don't do unnecessary contact. The hard thing, both our parent, my wife and my parents are still around, which is pretty lucky to have. The irony is I'm really a bad guy. I don't visit as much as I should. I'm probably making more contact now. We're making more contact now than ever had before.
Isn't that interesting?
Albeit on the phone, obviously, not direct contact.
Yeah.
And just working, you know, safe procedures if we have to drop stuff off to them and things like that to minimise unnecessary contact. So, yeah, that's an evolving thing. Yeah, and from a work perspective, our team is working out how to do different things differently, participating, assisting the vulnerable,
and I think, you know, in terms of, you know, work and the changes, or even just changes, you know, navigating your day to day, it's life kind of in a way does go on. It's just implementing those changes, and it's not going to be forever. You have to keep reminding yourself that it's not going to be forever. So I think that's the biggest thing, that there is a light that pierces the darkness, you know, and that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just when we're all in this together. So, yeah. Well, look, Imod, please take care, and thank you for making an exception today to be here to discuss the important things our mob and community need and want to know. Too deadly, Imod. So, look, on top of that, though, Dr. Leach, general personal hygiene, it's extremely vital now. We're all in different situations. So, you know, like we just heard from Lucky and then Bo as well on their unique situations. I live with my grandmother who's 90. She is moving in with another family member so that she's safe, as I'm in contact with a lot more people than she is.
Yeah.
I've cut out public transport and things like that, but there's still, you know, I still have to go to the supermarket and grab things, and she's not obviously that kind of mobile, so people bring things to her and that kind of thing. So we're just kind of, you know, refining that. But yeah, what What can people do to aid themselves in their situation, you know? Can we go over that again just to reassure people?
Yeah, sure. Mm. So I think remember that what we want to do is stop the transfer from my face to your face, you know, of what comes out. And the thing is that a lot of that ends up on surf.
I'm sorry, I'm joking.
But it ends up on surfaces all around us, you know. And, I mean, we should practice this stuff a lot of the time because that's how we all get sick with colds and flus all the time. But, you know, it's just especially important at the moment. So, you know, touching our phones, touching our computers, touching the desks, the door handles, all of that stuff. Mm. You got to think about if you do that and then touch your face, that's a point of contact that you're putting yourself at risk for picking something up.
Mm.
So I guess cleaning those surfaces regularly is helpful, but that's the hand washing just all the time. It's hard to stress that enough, really. And at one point about that is, you know, the sanitizer is hard to get your hands on, and maybe one day the supplies will return, hopefully. But soap and water is just as good. So do that regularly. I know that's a bit more trouble to go over to the tap and wash your hands, but it's effective. You do it for 20 seconds, have a song that you sing that lasts for that long, and, you know, make sure you cover your hands well.
Mm.
But it's effective. As far as cleaning surfaces, detergent is kind of the thing that you want to be using. So either wipes that have the detergent in them, or, you know, you can make up some water with detergent in it and clean with that. That's effective.
Okay, Dudley. We use flattening. We've been hearing flattening the curve. It's on the news. What is flattening the curve? Can you break it down so everyone's across it?
Yeah, sure. So the curve really is talking about the big word is epidemiological curve. So it's the kind of cases and where they are and how rapidly they're happening across the population. What happens is when the population gets infected, that you get increasing number of cases, and then they start to reduce off because, you know, enough people have had the infection, got some immunity, and so they can't kind of catch it again in that short period of time. And we're not sure how long that time is, but probably, you know, a few months really, that at least you're protected that we know of. So then the numbers reduce again back down to zero, kind of because most people in the population have been exposed and have it, which sounds great. But if you let that happen in too quick a time, and because of this virus and how it affects people, you get a lot of sick people who need being admitted to hospital. Some of them will be needing to go to ICU, and some of them need ventilation to keep them alive. So although we don't really have any specific antiviral treatments to kill the virus, the best we can do is support people while their body immune system kicks in and looks after them through it. And that's what we saw in Italy and some other places, where there just weren't enough ICU beds and ventilators that they had to make hard decisions about keeping people alive. So that's a position we don't want to be in. So what we want to do is make sure the health system has the capacity to look after as many people who are seriously ill as possible. And that's what the flattening the curve, the idea of that is, instead of having a really big concentrated amount of people sick at the same time, it's trying to spread that out over as long a period as possible.
Mm.
And there's different models being looked at with regard to this. So is flattening the curve, you know, to half or a third, is that enough, or do you really need to suppress it further? And I've heard a word called using the hammer approach to try to really flatten the curve as much as possible so that the health system can manage, and we can buy ourselves some time to figure out what social distancing practices work the best in terms of what the government's talking about, as well as get some treatments and vaccines organised. So there's a lot of good people around the whole world trying to work together on this, and you know, I'm not the expert in epidemiology, but I think that's what the research is really important, and I guess the public should be reassured that there's lots of that going on in the background. There's a lot of people working really hard to figure out what we should be doing and how best to cope.
Yeah, right. Okay. Now, before, I wanted to ask you about quarantine versus isolation, what those terms mean and the difference.
Mm. Yeah.
So I was under the impression that if you are in quarantine, that you are unwell and could spread it to others, but I'm wrong in thinking.
Yeah, so quarantine is when you're not unwell, but you're kind of waiting to see if you become unwell. So say if you've travelled overseas recently and you've come back, you would go into quarantine for 14 days to wait to see if you get sick. And same with if you're moving into state now, you're in, if you have to move into state, if you're a health provider, the preference is, I think, that you're quarantined for that time. Isolation is the term used more for if you're sick and you're either waiting for a test result, which tends to take sort of 2 days, or if you've been diagnosed with coronavirus, you would be in isolation at home if you're not too sick, and you know, managing at home. So the terms get used interchangeably a bit, and it's not really.
Yeah, because I've been using isolation in terms of as well as social distancing.
Yeah.
So I've been keeping myself away from others so that I don't get sick if I've got it.
Yeah.
And they don't get sick if they, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So there's, again, being protective of myself, but also others.
Yeah.
Not that I have it, but you know what I mean?
That's too big a deal that sometimes we get the terms mixed up. I think what's important to remember, and public health and your health practitioners will give you the advice that's right at the time for you. So when you're in quarantine, if you're in your family, you don't have to kind of stop contact with all your family members inside the house. Whereas if you're sick with coronavirus, the rest of your family's not, you really, even within the household, you want to limit your contact with others, family members, so that you stop them getting sick.
Which you would do anyway when you generally... Well, even more so now...
Yeah,
you know, you have to be super vigilant, but you would think that a lot of people would do that generally if they have influenza, for instance, which has been the number one killer before this.
Yeah.
So,
I guess we go to more extreme measures. So the ideal is, you know, you have your own bathroom that you use that no one else does. Your meals are brought to you, not kind of sitting at the table with everyone else having a meal. It's just really hard. Like, that's a long, you know, potentially a week to 2 weeks to be doing that, but that's the things that you've got to do to reduce the chance of other family members getting it.
Thank you for that. Now, in terms of also distancing and being vigilant and taking care of yourself and protecting yourself, I did catch public transport beforehand, and I've stopped that now, but I had the privilege of doing that. Mm. And not a lot of people do. So, for those who do have alternative options, what are the options that they can take who are able to drive to work instead of, catching public transport? Yeah, can we go through why you shouldn't be catching public transport if you can, and how to go about doing that and other options?
So the why behind it, I suppose, is to, you know, because there are surfaces that lots of people touch and it's... When they're busy, you know, there's a crowd, a bus going to the city at 7:30 in the morning is packed. You know, seats are all taken, people are back to back. As this is going on, that's going to be happening less and less, and I'm not sure 100% how full the buses are, but I can imagine they're a lot lighter. And so that in itself, the more people that can do it, use other means, the safer it is for the people who do have to catch public transport. So, you know, the things that you can do to keep yourself safe is the hand hygiene, definitely not touching your face while you're in there, and as soon as you leave the bus, then using a sanitizer or washing your hands as soon as you can afterwards is definitely recommended.
Mm.
Probably being mindful about, you know, touching your phone, touching the surfaces in the bus, and I know probably we entertain ourselves, but just think about that you're transferring what's on the surface to your phone, and then later on, even after you've washed your hands, you're going to go back to touch your phone again. So it would even be good to clean your phone after you've been in the bus as well. And then hopefully there's not too many people in the bus that you can keep that 1.5 metre distance, you know, sit at least two rows back further if it's quiet. And, you know, as people pass each other in the bus, I guess the more you can keep that distance and being away from each other. If you're sick, it'd be really good not to be catching public transport, staying home. And I guess that's our big message. Even if it's not coronavirus, then you should be staying home.
Yeah, because you don't want to put other people's immunity at risk either, and lower their immunity against battling this.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Bo, you were talking before about your family and what you're doing with the gardening, and I mentioned before it's really good for your health and well-being to keep moving, and the gardening is great for your mental health too.
Yeah.
And loneliness can cause chronic conditions or it can progress them. Like heart disease is a big that plays a big part in heart disease, as well as depression and anxiety. And then, you know, the suicide rates are high with our mob as well. So on your side, how are you keeping on top of your mental health? You know, what would you suggest from your perspective and as a First Nations person?
Yeah, I suppose, obviously I've always been involved in some type of sport, but, you know, semi-retired, I exercise a lot. And I always say if I don't exercise, I go crazy. And that's just me to a T, and you just ask my husband because he has to deal with it. So when I was pregnant, you know, it was some bad times at home. Just I was like, I need to go for a run. I was shaking nearly. But just keeping physically active, you know, even if it's a walk. I know parks are out of the, there are no go zone at the moment. So, you know, like just walking up. I love gardening. So we've got a pool, so we're pretty lucky. At home as well, but I eat good foods. I like to, you know, if I'm eating good, I feel good. You know, everything's, you know, I'm functioning pretty well. And I've got three little ones. You know, my babies are. I've got a 21 month old, a 4 year old, and a nearly 7 year old. So you know, I've got to be on the ball. You know, all the time, especially. With the current time at the moment where my stresses are high, not for myself at all, it's for my children. So I like to, you know, do a lot of exercise, but definitely eating well and things that are helping boost my immune system, you know what I mean? Like those types of foods, we're an orange family, so we've always got orange juice or orange, you know, oranges in our house. So, you know, I'm pretty much shoving them down my kids' throat, poor kids. Your vitamin C, you know, all things that are high in vitamin C to help boost that immune system and keep it pretty well. And, you know, broccoli for, you know, anything that you've, strawberries, those types of fruits and stuff. But they're, you know, they're what's sort of keeping me healthy and sane, you know, in terms of having to deal with the current situation and my children. So, and I've also got, you know, the support of my husband, who's, for him at the moment, he's a teacher, and he's down at Marsden, where they nearly have over 3,000 kids at that school, and they're down to nearly, I think there was about 1,400 that didn't come to school yesterday. Mm. But he said to me, you know, at the start of all this, he's like, I've got kids, you know, spluttering and coughing in my office every day, but that's every day. You know what I mean? That's his whole year. And now he's sort of, you know, looking to take that quite seriously in terms of he's a bit of that day-to-day type of thing about going to work. So, you know, we're just making sure that we're keeping active, eating really good food, you know, keeping in touch with our mob, so that stresses off us that our family are okay, you know, with our especially our parents.
And I guess it goes for you know, supporting our elders during this time.
Yeah.
From a distance as well.
They're so vulnerable. They feel so isolated in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, normally being, you know, older and, you know, you've got a lot of our elders that don't sort of think they still have a purpose in this world, but they actually do. They've got so much that they can offer to us younger ones, especially. And I just want them to know that, you know, we're here to support them in every single way that we can, you know. And I know, you know, Presto and his guys within our cafe here at Deadly Choices, you know, they're cooking up massive big curry chicken, you know, really healthy curry chicken and rice meals, and they're getting, you know, serviced out and taken out to a lot of our elders around Southeast Queensland community. So, you know, we are doing everything we can from the Deadly Choices perspective and point of view, and the Institute's point of view to really look after our community, but also look after each other, whether you're black, white or whatever, you know what I mean? So we're a pretty good team here at IUE, and I think we're definitely trying to work as hard as we can to keep our community safe.
Yeah, that's it. Well, look, I'd like to get some more from you on the events, etc. So I'll just quickly move on to, you know, Dr. Leach, on top of that and caring for our elders. Is that the same practices you spoke about earlier, you know, distancing yourself, good hygiene, you know, and restricting visits or not visiting and just keeping in contact over the phone?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's that face-to-face visiting that we've got to cut back on, which is hard, but there are other ways to do it. I had decided to invite my mum up to stay with us for a few days over the weekend, knowing that things were heading this way, and she's gone back home now because I don't, you know, want to put her health at risk. But we, you know, we've decided to do a virtual dinner once a week. So we'll kind of, she'll make her food, we'll make ours, and we'll, yeah. She lives on the Gold Coast, so we'll you know, connect up and just have a meal together. Like you said, we hadn't done that before, and you know, don't know why we didn't think of it before. Mm. But I think doing those sorts of things, being creative, we've got some good technology we can use, and I'm sure if the kids are around a bit more too, you know, getting grandparents, aunties to uncles to, you know, connect up and maybe read them some stories and teach them some stuff as well, and make the use of that time for that.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Do you think we're doing enough to finally bring about a downturn in the confirmed cases, you know, from your perspective as a health professional, you know, as a doctor?
Mm. Yeah. Look, it is a serious situation if we do not enough. The number of cases would continue to grow, and, you know, Australia's been, you know, condolences to the families that have dealt with the deaths, but there have been less than 10 deaths in Australia. If we didn't do more, that number would rise quickly, like we've seen in other countries across the world. The UK and the US, you know, particularly got some and the rest of Europe some serious issues. So we don't want it to go south like that, and I think these measures that are being put in place are definitely required and good, even though they do have big impact on society, and particularly, you know, unemployment for a lot of people, and that's really hard. But you know, I guess those that are employed will look after each other like we've always done, and I think that's a real strength of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community that I've seen in the, you know, the years I've been working at AICS, and how people pull together is just amazing, and I think that'll be great to see.
Nice. And well, you know, on top of that, from, you know, an IUE perspective, IUIH perspective, how are you looking to manage the COVID-19 outbreak within clinics and take care of clients that way?
Yeah, sure. So there's been a bunch of things we've been doing, and we've got a working group across all our IUIH and member services sites, so the 20 clinics across Southeast Queensland. We're all working together. We've got common purpose and common ways of doing things, so there's a consistency. Some of the things that we're doing at the moment is moving to telehealth, so when patients ring up to ask for an appointment, we're offering telehealth as an option, so a telephone call for the consultation with the doctor instead of having to come into the clinic. And that's particularly for those who are more vulnerable and, you know, don't want to be exposed coming to a GP practice. We are still doing clinic appointments though, and we've got ways to do that to make sure people are safe. So we screen people at the front. You might get your temperature taken and ask some questions before coming into the clinic, and it's just to keep everyone safe. And we'll still look after everyone who comes. It just might be a different pathway. If you've got a bit of a cough or cold, you might be asked to wait outside until the doctor's ready to see you, and wear a mask while you're waiting.
Okay, fantastic. Look, thanks for that, and for your time here on DC Radio. You tune to 98.9 FM.
Taking a break.
Okay, so Lockie, I've just wanted to talk to you. You're tuned to 98.9 FM DC Radio. We've got Lockie Zenu, who's an IUE pharmacist, with us here, along with Bo De La Cruz, DC ambassador, and Dr. Jonathan Leach, who is a health professional for IUE. Brisbane AICS. Lucky, well, we've got you here because you're a, you know, deadly pharmacist. Staying strong health-wise provides, you know, individuals a good defence against disease and infection. And as announced at the beginning of the show, some of the deadly choices are resisting the temptation to take up smoking or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your family. So, and as it's important more so now than ever to reduce the risk and spread of COVID-19, because you're involved, I believe, and a lot in the prevention of people taking up smoking and the education around that as well. Mm-hmm. So how vital is it to start practicing this deadly choice at this time, and why? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we're really taking seriously. Currently working closely with the DC team to get the message out to community, like doing what we're doing today and videos and things like that. It's really, really important to quit, even if it's temporary. What smoking does, it it reduces your immunity, and it actually reduces your ability to clear dangerous chemicals and pathogens, bugs, from your lungs. So it just makes you so much more exposed to the coronavirus. Mm. So we're out there trying to get that message out, and you know, we can say we're at war, and the similarity I have is if you're smoking, it's a bit like being in a firefight skirmish and you're wearing a high vis jacket if you're smoking. So that's probably not a bad analogy. So the good news is, if you quit, if you stop the smokes, your lungs' immune capacity and ability to clear those bad bugs improves quite quickly. So the sooner you quit, the better you're going to be equipped to tackle this disease. And that goes out to the people around you, people in your home that are breathing your smoke as well, because you can be affected as well by it. They are equally affected by all that smoke in the environment.
Well, then, for those struggling to ditch the diuretics, I guess what steps can they start taking to quit, save their health and their money?
Smoke-free spaces. 100% behind getting some help. You can do it on your own, but you're going to go through the hard path.
Well, anxiety is probably pretty high for everybody right now, so that's probably going to be like super.
Yeah, you can make it a lot easier for yourself, and some people give up easier than or harder than other people as well. Nicotine replacement therapy will certainly make that journey a lot easier for a lot of people.
Can you get that subsidised if you go through and get a prescription from your doctor? Is that right?
You can, and may even be able to be done through telehealth now, so you may not even have to go through into the clinic itself.
Yeah,
definitely. That support's really important, and Quitline also supply NRT and support as well. Good to, when you do ring up, mention that, you know, you're part of MOB, you identify, because they've got a whole support team around that as well.
Yeah, you can request to speak to a First Nations person.
And they'll send the NRT out to you too, if you need, so you don't even have to leave your house.
That's great.
They can post it out for you as well. Also, you can talk to, if you're in Southeast Queensland, you can talk to the tobacco champions in the clinics. At this point in time, it might be worth just having a yarn to them first, see what they want to do, see what they've got in the clinics as well. And yeah, the doctors now, they can write prescriptions for gums, patches, lozenges as well on script, and Quitline support that stuff as well, and a lot of the clinics. So you're pretty well supported. We've always been set up well for this. This just takes it up another level on the importance to quit.
Yeah. Deadly. Can you talk us through some of the other educational and survey programs which are offered through Deadly Choices?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff being developed quite rapidly at the moment. So what I would suggest is make sure you keep in touch with the DC Facebook, like that Facebook page. I'm sure there's something on Instagram too. I don't have Instagram.
Yep.
Yeah. Just spend most of my life on the phone as it is, I think. So, keep an eye on the website as well for these developing resources as we go. We're going to try to make it a little bit into a humour type thing as well. We're going to try to, very serious point, we'll try to deliver some things in a way which might make you smile a bit as well. That's what we're planning on.
Black fellas are really good at doing that.
Definitely. That's why I love working with MOB. The other thing is, don't be afraid of other Reddit apps that are out there as well. My Quit Buddy is a good app to use and stuff, and there's others out there as well. Things to keep you motivated, things to keep you busy in the dark times when you're hanging out for a cigarette, things to let you know how much money you've saved as well. It's really important. I mean, even without the COVID virus, smoking kills 50% of the people that do smoke. You know, it's just, well, yeah, that's right. And that applies to people in the same household as well. Mm. So 50% of people die of smoking-related diseases if they're a smoker or exposed to a smoker, and that's without this COVID virus. So we really need to take that high-vis vest off so we can be good soldiers and have a best chance of fighting this condition and, you know, being strong so we can help the more vulnerable community as well. The other thing is we just need to think as team players. Don't think, how do we protect the community? I think we kind of should be thinking of, I've got this virus, assume that, and how do we protect others? Mm. Thinking of what we can do for others, what we can do for ourselves, putting it down to footy, you can't win a footy game on your own. You need to play as a team. And until Bo's a team player, because we walk into this room, that very small bottle of sanitizer's got there, she offered it to everyone. Because Bo knows she can clean her own hands, but if the other three of us around here aren't cleaning our hands, well, team's
we're
not going to win.
Aren't we? Yeah.
You know, so that's what we've got to think, stop this hoarding, mm-hmm. Because there's plenty of food, there's a sufficient supply of medicines out there. A lot of pharmacies delivering, a lot of grocers delivering now. There's lots of pathways being set up. They're getting stronger as well, I think, as well. So we've got to have that team thought that Bo's got to keep that curve flat.
And Bo, can we yarn about what Deadly Choices are doing to maintain its programs during this time?
Yes.
A lot of them are
they are postponed. Everything face-to-face
Well,
is
now
postponed,
it is. Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
All our school programs, our clinic programs, our TIST programs, a lot of that's grounded at the moment. But
got stuff to look forward to.
We do, and a lot of it's going online, which you can start to see on a lot of our social media platforms at the moment. We've started rolling out a lot of stuff, especially around coronavirus. But then, eventually, as we sort of time goes on, and depending obviously how, especially with our school programs, how that's starting to look, and whether the face-to-face stuff is going to be cut off completely, which it is now, and if it's going to stay that way, we'll be looking to go online with a lot of our DC programs, DC Fit, our Tackling Indigenous Smoking, the Good Quick Tucker, our Healthy Lifestyle programs. So all our DC programs will be going online. But if you the good things at the moment, if you're online already and having a look at a lot of our stuff, with a lot of competitions that are coming up and some fun stuff, And if we are going to be, isolated, locked down or whatever, in the next couple of months or weeks or whatever, there is going to be some good fun humour in terms of, around this coronavirus. Yeah. I'm not saying you take it as a funny thing, but we've got to remember we've still got to be normal. We've got some fun, ways of greeting people. Obviously, we can't use our hands now, so a lot of it, a lot of our mob don't use their hands anyway. It's sort of like that, those lips type of action. I don't know, I'm on there, you can see me doing it, but and then we've got a few things around cooking healthy meals, around Good Quick Tucker, some exercises, and there's a lot of, we've got some cowboys jerseys or hoodies to be won. So there's a lot of competition stuff going on at the moment.
Oh, so
jump
so
on.
You can be sent, they
yeah,
can be sent out.
Yeah, they
obviously.
Will be sent out. Yep. Okay. So jump online onto our websites, also our social media platforms. Get cooking and get exercising, because there's a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of information that's being, I suppose, posted around the coronavirus and ways in which we can help our community and help our families and ourselves as well. So, online is where it's going to be for the next couple of weeks, that's for sure, until we obviously know what's going on. But watch this space, because it's, definitely a lot of stuff is going to be coming out soon. And
I'm just thinking about too, because really great words there from you, Bo. Thank you for that. And I was thinking about what you were saying before about prevention is what was it about?
The best cure.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that? I see you agreeing with a lot of things that Bo's saying at the moment as well. And I guess, what are your thoughts and feelings about Deadly Choices programs at the moment still being made accessible online, and particularly to those who remain isolated and also are most vulnerable too?
Well, I think it's really important that we've got things like this going on, because life does go on, we've got to adjust to it, but our health needs to stay strong, both in our mind and body and spirit. So to look after your body and keep yourself healthy protects you from if you get infected, but it also is good for your long-term health, because things like heart disease and lung disease and different, you know, cancers, all sorts of things. The things will still kind of happen in the background if you're not looking after your health, just because coronavirus is here doesn't stop all of that. And things that you can do to look after your well-being and your diet, exercise, keeping your mind strong, keeping your relationships strong, they're the biggest things that make a difference to people's long-term health. Along with, you know, if you do have chronic disease, that you're looking after that well at the moment, that you're getting checkups even if it's by phone with your doctor, that you're taking your medicine regularly, make sure you've got a kind of link to the pharmacy to get your tablets, that kind of thing. And, you know, get things checked out if you're worried about something, you know, and I think those messages we still need to be talking about to stay well.
Deadly. Now, amongst everything that's been going on, I understand Deadly Choices have, we've got great news, unveiled a new ambassador into the fold. Who's that, Bo?
Yes, it's our Olympic beach volleyballer, Talitha Clancy. Yeah, she's residing in Adelaide, but she's here a lot. I see her a lot in southeast Queensland, and it's great to have her on board. Especially, obviously we've got Patrick with that Olympic status, but to have a female, and who's current as well, is amazing. It's amazing for the program. She's a great role model. She's somebody that's very passionate about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and in particular health. And she's a fantastic add on to our Deadly team of ambassadors. So we're really happy to have her on board. She's tall. I feel ridiculous around her. Oh, I feel ridiculous around nearly all of them because they're all that tall, sis. They are that tall. Even and I'm this little short ass. It just does my head in.
The fiber.
Rimelda. I try and steer very clear of those ladies because I wish I had longer legs. And I got blessed with the short, stumpy ones. Thanks to my father. But she's been fantastic. I think she's been waiting for her opportunity to come on board, as she mentioned to me. And we gave her an awesome shirt with her name on the back and her own design. And yeah, she was stoked, and she's going to be really, really vital at these times as well. I think. And obviously the stuff that's happening around the Olympics, and that's in limbo. But she's very positive. She's a great, great person. I'm glad we've got her on board.
We'll hear more about that next episode, so make sure you stay tuned to DC Radio Wednesday night, 6 p.m. UMob. We'll hear from the new ambassador then, from Nathan Appo. He had the opportunity to catch up with her. Again, her name is Talitha Clancy. She's an Olympic volleyballer.
Beach volleyballer,
mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Thanks for that piece of information. That's absolutely deadly and something to really look forward to, you know, having a nice, deadly strong woman on the team, mm-hmm. For a DC ambassador. So that's great. Going back to, I guess, a little bit of the serious stuff, but also just getting the right information around what's going on in the sporting world. Mm-hmm. So, but obviously, COVID-19 has had a massive effect on all sporting codes, and the all-new statewide women's rugby league competition, which you play in, was one of the casualties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the new BHB competition with the QRL, who I play for, West Brisbane Panthers. We got one round out of the way, which was against our grand final counterparts in Burley, Talisha's team, and we beat them. So that was the one round. But yeah, it has been grounded. All sporting events have been grounded across Australia, which is, you know, obviously disappointing, but it's the right thing to do. Mm. It's, we want to really kick this thing in the butt, and we want to stop the spread of the coronavirus. And I know everybody's quite disappointed, but at the end of the day, it's a small sacrifice for a bigger an amazing ending, you know what I mean? So, you know, and that's just to get rid of this thing out of our country. And it's sad, but you know, at the end of the day, I don't really care. If it's going to help our community and help the Australian people get rid of this thing, then do what we've got to do, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Being a First Nations woman and playing sports. And if you could leave us with one thing, could you provide us with any, advice to young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women? If that's...
In terms of sport?
In terms of sport, because you've had quite a vast background, and it wasn't just rugby. I remember you saying you weren't just involved in, you were playing something else as well.
Touch footy, rugby sevens, AFL, all that. Suppose, with women's sport in particular, it's definitely on the rise. Obviously it's nowhere near what the men's is at the moment, but 10, 20 years from now, it's going to be amazing. And like everything, there's a process, and I think we've got to be very patient and really get the quality that we need for it to grow. Everyone's wanting to jump on board because the AFLW came on, and then the NRLW, and the rugby union, and I think we've seen the amazing things that the Australian Rugby Sevens women's have done, winning the Olympics, the last Olympics and stuff like that. So I just think we do need to be patient, because there is a process for everything. Our time will come, and I'm hoping it's when my daughter, who's 20 months now, she's going to be in the peak of it, and she will be able to make a living out of it, hopefully. But I suppose from the grassroots level, and that's what I'm really interested in now, is we've got to, with our young girls, we've got to participate, but at the same time, we've got to have fun. I look back now on my sporting career, and I've played for Australia. I've been all over the world. I've won some pretty amazing individual awards as well as team awards, and nothing beats playing with your friends. And nothing beats, that's the most fun I had. And it's sad to say, because I don't remember a lot of fun times in that elite level, just because it was quite serious. So while you're young, definitely have a lot of fun for those young girls coming up. It was, there were times there that they were tough, and being an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander woman, back in the day, were a lot tougher. I was exposed to a lot of racism. I was exposed to being picked because I relied too much on my natural ability, and apparently I wasn't willing to work hard. But
there's tokenism,
etc. Yeah, and that's it. And the thing is, have fun while you're young. They're the best times of your life, especially in your school years, within your sport. And, it's going to take hard work. And because of the growth in the sport, it's going to be competitive. So you're going to have to be at the top of your game. And that means making sacrifices. And, there's so many times I could have gone down certain paths with my friends went down, and I love them, I still love them to this day, and their path was obviously different to mine, and but I chose the part of the sporting, hence why I've had children so late in my life as well. But I was I wanted, my motivations changed, and you've got to actually, as a sports person, you've got to, and your motivations are going to change along the way. I suppose the higher you get in sport, those motivations change. And I think my last motivation, I was playing sport not long ago with rugby league, and it was to have fun. Before that, to get back to having fun. Before that, when I was playing for Australia, and a lot of the times, I think through my whole journey, it's been for my people and for my family. I suppose the biggest time was winning my World Cup in Dubai, and that's one thing And I thought to myself, no one can take this away from me. And, my family before, my grandmother, and, that was always for them. That motivation came for my family and for my people. And just to show, this young black girl from Darwin, didn't finish year 12, grew up with most Murray kids, mattresses on the floor, or we our house was a communal house. It was never, I never had my own bed to myself. And that's what I think, made me into the person I am today. And I think, I thank my parents for that. I thank the struggles that we went through. I thank the times that they said no, or you know what I mean, because it's definitely shaped me and how I am. And so I think for the young girls these days is really take a lot of what they're growing up with into their sporting life, if that's the path they choose to go down, and really hone in on it, because it's hard work. It's going to be definitely hard work to get there, but it's not, you know, black fellas have always dealt with resilience. Mm. They've always dealt with knockdowns. We've always dealt with people trying to pull us down, even the lateral violence within our own mob. You know, it's still there and it's still strong. Don't get me wrong. But I think if, you know, we can overcome those things, because our old people have overcome a lot more than what we've got to face and what we've had to face, I think we're going to see a lot of deadly Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women coming through the sporting ranks, because they've already got that resilience, instilled in their blood from their past. So they've just got to understand that it's not going to be easy, but it's not going to be as hard as a lot of our old people had to endure back in the day. So, yeah, for me, have fun, go out there, and, you know, you're born deadly. Just, you know, use that and, go out and give it a really good crack. And I'm always here for any of the young girls coming through, and, a lot of the older Indigenous females that have gone through sports are always putting their hands up for our younger generation to come through. So, yeah, don't be ashamed to come and have a yarn.
That's it, Dudley. And it's nice to end on a wonderful note like that as well. We are coming to the end of DC Radio. I know it's a bit sad. The auntie is all day. It's been deadly. So, again, thank you so much for taking the time to yarn. And please take good care.
You too. Hey,
cheers, Liz.
Dudley. Thanks for having us. Cheers. Thank you.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.